Las Vegas. You are listening to Vegas Revival. This is the new radio ministry of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. We hope that you will stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we talk about the great things God is doing in our city and through the ministries of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. He's everything.
Well, praise the Lord, Las Vegas, and welcome to another edition of Vegas Revival, the radio ministry of Gospel Lighthouse Church, located right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm so glad to be with you. My name is Randall Sparks. I'm assistant pastor of Gospel Lighthouse and co-host of this radio ministry, Vegas Revival. We call ourselves Vegas Revival because we believe we need a revival in Las Vegas, and I think anybody that comes here would probably have to agree. We need a revival in a city known as Sin City, but also where sin abounds, grace does more greatly abound, so we're in the right place for revival. But we call ourselves Vegas Revival because we think we need a revival in the White House, the courthouse, the State House, your house, and my house. I know that I need revival in my own life. I was just talking to my good friend and Christian sister on the board, Alyssa, about fasting and how it's been kind of on my heart to fast, and she does a lot of that, I think. But I said, yeah, I've been lazy. I haven't been fast enough. You know, we got to fast and pray for this day and age we're in. We're in the end of the age. There's a lot of stuff going to happen. This year could be a pivotal year in the prophecies of the Bible. There's so many things culminating. I'm not going to go into that today, but it's a great time to get right with God. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We don't put it off until next month, next year. We'll do it whenever everything else is done. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and his righteousness, and then he'll add to us everything the world seeks after. But a lot of folks have the order 100% backwards. They put God last. They're going to get to God at the very end of their life, right before they die. They're going to try the deathbed confession thing, which may, you know, I wouldn't recommend that ever. Wait until the last minute to get right with God. Do the first things first and then let everything else happen. But today we had a great service at Gospel Lighthouse at our 10 a.m. service, and we worshiped the Lord and heard the word, had Sunday school, Spanish class, and then our main service in our main auditorium. And I was preaching a message basically about in the book of 2 Kings where Elisha was getting ready to pass off the earth, and he had one of the kings of Israel, Joash, came to see him, and he shot some arrows out the window towards Syria, and it was talking about the arrow of the deliverance of the Lord. And that's, I want to talk about that for a moment when I get to that, but I want to first open with prayer. Lord, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for this day, and thank you for another day, another opportunity to preach on the airwaves of Las Vegas and around the world, wherever they're listening to this live stream. I want to ask you to bless all those here in Las Vegas and in America, but also those listening overseas, even in countries that are oppressed, even in countries where there are underground churches that they cannot openly worship you, that they would be put in jail or they would be even in some cases killed for their faith. I ask you to bless them and let a great harvest come out of every nation, kindred, and tongue in these last days that we're living in. We praise you and we love you, Lord, and we ask you to bless every person, every Christian here and abroad, every pastor, every evangelist, every missionary, and they would live and teach and preach the whole gospel to the whole world. And we say in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to keep clearing my throat. I had a cold that went on for like 2 weeks. I don't know if anybody got this here flu thing that went around, but it seemed like everybody I know got it. And I was sick for a few days, and then I had congestion, and I finally got rid of most of it, but now I should have brought a gallon of water in here. But I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity in 2024, the first Sunday of 2024, this day, today, to preach the gospel at Gospel Lighthouse and also to speak to you all about the Bible and about God's will in our lives here at KKVV 1060 AM and all over the world on the live streams, Facebook, and all of YouTube, whatever we're broadcasting on right now and live streaming on. I had read a psalm today that I'd like to read to you. It's Psalm 67. It says this, and it's a psalm of, it says to the chief musician, a psalm or song. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. want to say that I've read that this morning at Gospel Lighthouse, and I pointed out that is a psalm to be sang in the congregation, to be read, but it's also a prophetic psalm of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back on the earth, and there's going to be health among the nations. Instead of the nations getting ready to blow each other up with nuclear war and the wars that are going on, and these are springing into regional wars. They're worried about the Middle East springing into a regional war right now. I think our Secretary of State is over in Israel in the Middle East right now trying to hope it doesn't spring into a regional war with Iran, and then Russia backs Iran, China backs Russia, and this world, it gets uglier and uglier as the United States and Western nations start squaring off against, you know, the communist countries and so forth. And of course, China wants Taiwan, and they're saying they're going to take it before the election and all this stuff. And this year could be a pivotal year, Sister Alyssa. I'm telling you, it could be a pivotal year. But the main thing is we don't live in fear. I told a man yesterday at our food pantry, we do a food pantry, and we feed a lot of people. And I was talking to him about the Lord, a man that needed prayer. I was praying with people, and I said, you know, don't live in fear. You live in faith. The first thing you do, we think, well, we should have a reserve of everything. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But what you got to do is be born again first of water and spirit in the name of Jesus, like Jesus told Peter in the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promises to you and to your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That message of being born again that Jesus said, except a man is born again of water and spirit, he said in John 3:3-5, you can't see or enter the kingdom of God. But once we're born again, we got to stay with the Lord, stay on that straight and narrow path. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do that, you don't have to fear what the world's going to do. You don't have to fear war and rumors of wars and pestilences and starvation, which is going to happen. I mean, the Bible says when this sixth trumpet war happens, which they call World War III, there's going to be great devastation. There's going to be supply chain problems. Can you imagine when nuclear weapons are used, you're going to have major supply chain issues. And the Bible says there's going to be famine and all these other things. And we can see, and we even had a pestilence hit the world just recently, COVID, which we think perhaps was a, you know, gain of function virus that got out of the lab somewhere over in Wuhan. But nevertheless, yeah, it's true. That was a pestilence. It hit our nation. We lost hundreds of thousands of people, they claim. And I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I had long haul COVID for over a year and a half. I was dizzy. I didn't feel well. I couldn't smell nothing. I couldn't taste. I couldn't remember people's names. Still having trouble with that. I mean, it really messed me up. There was a time I couldn't even type. I sat down to type. I used to be a very good typist. I used to program computers. I could not remember how to type. I sat there for a while wondering what happened, you know? And eventually those things came back because I think it damages your brain. It damages things. And, you know, that's a pestilence. And the Bible said there would be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places or different places. And all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. But he said, you know, we need to realize that the Lord's coming back. And we need to, when we see these things, Jesus said, look up for your redemption draws near. I want to read you something quickly. It says, Happy New Year 2024. Welcome aboard flight number 2024. We are preparing for an on-time departure into the new year. Please make sure your attitude and actions are secured and locked in an upbeat and upright position. All self-destructive thoughts should be turned off at this time and remain off forever. Any negativity, hate, discouragement must remain completely stowed. In the unlikely event we lose altitude while under pressure, simply reach up and pull down a prayer. Prayers will automatically activate if you have faith. With faith, you will be able to assist other passengers. I like this part. There will be no baggage allowed on this flight. Now, Captain Jesus has cleared us for takeoff. Our first destination is love, with continued stops at peace and joy. Before you deplane, make sure you don't leave any of your hopes and dreams behind. Once they are lost, they are very difficult to be reclaimed. If there's anything we can do to make your flight more enjoyable, please do the same by paying it forward. We wish you a pleasant flight, happy new year, and may God bring you and your family much peace and joy. I'll say amen to that. I like that. Somebody sent me that. We need to realize that no matter what's going on, the peace the Lord gives us is not like the world's peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. He says, not as the world gives, I give you. The peace of the Lord is on the inside. We could sit here and say, yeah, I know the prophecies say there's going to mark of the beast coming on the earth, and we can see it now. We're cashless. They're using the phones and everything and QR codes and chips in your dog. You could see how it could easily come to pass. You know, and by the way, the Sixth Trumpet War or World War III is most likely the vehicle that will launch the Antichrist into power, whoever he is. It's going to put the world directly in the arms of international law and probably, you know, international governance or government, which would probably be like the United Nations. because people are going to say these nations cannot be allowed with weaponry that they can destroy one another like they just did. And you can see how every time there's a big crisis, it puts the more power to central government. Several of our governmental officials have said over the years, including ex-presidents and other leaders, they've said, don't waste a good crisis. You know, let's get a good crisis and then use it to our advantage. Satan wants to control us. He wants to control us through technology. He wants to control us through addiction. He wants to control us. And the world, the governments of the world, the more control they get, the more they have you where they want you. They can tax you more. They can, you know, make you vote the way they want. They can make you do what they want. They can keep you, they can indoctrinate with their ideologies, which we see happening in our school systems and so forth, and they could even control the population. Somebody said the globalists of the earth today believe there's too many people on earth. They say there's almost 8 billion right now, and there shouldn't be more than maybe a billion, maybe a half a billion. They see no problem at all with losing a whole lot of people through pandemics or war. And you could say, well, that's not fair. You know, well, they've got their bunkers. They've got their food stored. They're not worried about us. You say, no, they don't. Of course they do. Even our Congress has bunkers in mountains and stuff. Do you have a bunker? Do you have 5 years of food stored? Do you have air filters and scrubbers in case of nuclear war? No. Well, they do. But you know what? I don't trust in all that. I trust in the Lord. The Bible says that, you know, that some trust in chariots, some trust in the sword and the shield, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Now, you could say, should we be doing something? The first thing we should be doing is getting right with God. The second thing we should do is telling others about the Lord. We should be doing his great work called the Great Commission. That's what he said to do. We should be telling others, hey, thus saith the Lord, and get born again and live for God and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Go out into all the world and tell them about his goodness. And by the way, be a peace speaker and a peacemaker. There's enough war going on. There's enough violence. There's enough murder going on. But you know what? Somebody needs to step up and try to help someone. You know, we do a food pantry to try to feed people because they can't hardly pay their rent nowadays. And you know, look how high rent is. Look how high mortgages are. Look how much gas costs. Yeah, it's coming down. It's an election year. They'll lower it artificially if they have to pull it out of the strategic reserve. And that's what they did at the last midterms, just so you know. They pull it out to artificially lower the price to get past the election. And then they go right back to their old save Mother Earth, green earth stuff, which, by the way, we're not against that. But if it's not true, or if it's used as control, it's for the wrong reason. But I'm telling you, yeah, gas prices might come down a little. Interest rates might start dropping. Isn't it interesting? It always happens right before an election. How come it didn't happen 2 years ago? But again, that's a political thing. That's how the enemy works many times. That's how political manipulation works. But what should we be doing? We should be helping one another. That's why we have a food pantry. We give people food so that they can have enough money still to buy some gas, maybe have a little bit left over to pay the rent with. Who knows? But you know what? I'm telling you right now, the most important thing we need to be doing is telling people how to be saved, how to do the work of the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for this year, 2024, and I want to thank him that we're going to continue doing the good things, fighting the good fight of faith. And that brings me to a message here. If we go to the book of 2 Kings, I have it here, and I preach this message today at Gospel Lighthouse at our 10 a.m. service. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 says this. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. He said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. That means three times. And then he stopped. The man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten five or six times, then had thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but three times, thrice. Okay, so the king shoots the arrow, that Elisha puts his hands over the hands, and remember, Elisha's very sick at this time. He's very elderly. His health is gone. It's time for him to pass over to the other side. But the king of Israel, Joash, came to see him, and he had enough wisdom, this king, to come and see the man of God before he died. And he came, and the king, man of God's telling him, the enemy wants to kill you. Syria has always been a traditional enemy of Israel They still are, by the way. They're fighting Israel right now. I mean, there's Hezbollah's over there, these proxies of Iran. Syria's backed by Iran, by Russia. Of course, you know, Israel's backed by the United States. And this is that big line that's drawn in the sand, and it'll ultimately end up in another war eventually. It's going to happen. But anyway, and it's interesting, China's allied with Russia, North Korea, Iran, Syria, so forth. You know, these nations, they're on each side. But anyway, and by the way, if the king of Israel would have done what Elisha told him, they wouldn't be fighting Syria today. I want to say that too. A lot of folks, they don't do what the Lord told them to do. They don't overcome something he wants you to overcome. And before you know it, that addiction, that problem, that relationship you shouldn't have been in, it comes back to get you later and it harms you over your life. But I want to say this, that he told him shoot the arrow and he shot it. And he says, that's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And then he wanted him to beat on the ground. And it's like God's opening a door in the spiritual realm for us, but we've got to do our part on the ground. We've got to take the weapons God has given us, the arrows, if you will, of God's power, the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, loins girded with truth, and taking the, you know, above all, the, you know, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, all the whole armor of God, and the weapons. We got the Holy Ghost, for crying out loud. That's the most powerful force in the universe. It's the Spirit of God in your life. We've got the Word of God, the Bible. That is a weapon. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we've got to take these weapons and go and use them on here on the ground, on the earth, and fight our, you know, fight back the wickedness that's going on. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. I was mentioning that Psalm 67, which is the millennial reign of Christ. There will be righteousness. There will be health in the nations. We're going to have all these people on drugs, laying all over the neighborhoods, you know, sleeping in tents and on sidewalks, out of their minds. We're not going to have all these diseases and pestilences. These are the health of the nation. But right now, the church has that kind of authority and power in the Lord that we can at least stand and fight and go the direction the Lord wants us to go, which was shooting the arrow of God's deliverance. I was mentioning in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I think verse 7 is the church of Philadelphia, where the Lord says, I've set before you an open door. I'm trying to find it here real quick. And he says, you've had a little strength and you've not denied my name. So many Christians even need the name of Jesus in baptism and so forth. He says it right here in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these sayings saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, I was mentioning that because the Lord set an open door before those that'll keep his word, those that'll walk in his path, those that have enough strength to not deny his name. So many people, they say, I'm a Christian, but they go to work and every day they deny that they're a Christian by their actions. So many people say they're a Christian, but when it's time to make a decision, they don't follow the word of God. They follow their own heart, which the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? If we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to have to start following the way he's made. That arrow of deliverance, he's already said, shoot it this way. This is the way I want you to walk. This is the way, and you need to take the arrows I've given you, the weapons I've given you, the spiritual weapons, and go on the earth like that king. He only struck it 3 times when he should have. So many people start for God and they quit within just a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks. It's like America 9-1-1. We got hit by the terrorists and everybody around America was saying, God bless America. Thank God for our first responders. Thank God for the firemen and the paramedics. But about 2 or 3 weeks later, they went back to their old ways. For about 2 or 3 weeks, the churches were full, but then they went back to their old ways. And look where America is today. Look how far from God we are. Look at all of the wickedness going on in our cities. All the murders are up. The shootings are up. The LGBT's taken over our schools. The denial of God in our education. The perversion that's happened and all of the violence. It's insane. The high debt. We got national debt of 30, 40 trillion now. We can't hardly afford to live. Everything is just going down the drain, it seems. What happened? Well, people didn't follow the Lord. They said, okay, Lord, and for about two or three times, I'll show up to church. For two or three times, I'll pray, and then I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to the bar. I'm going to go back to the drugs. I'm going to go back to the immorality. I'm going to go back to watching the wickedness instead of getting on my knees and praying. I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to forget who I was or the commitments I made to God when I was in a crisis. I got to hurry. I'm down to less than 4 minutes, but I wrote something down. It said, so many folks start for Jesus, but stop short. They start to come. They get some deliverance, hear the word, but do not get the complete victory Jesus had for them. So many people come to Jesus maybe in crisis. They pray. They may even repent. Some even get baptized, but because they are half-hearted, they don't receive the Holy Spirit in their life. I want to stop and say that this king, he was half-hearted. He beat the ground three times, and then he stopped, and the man of God was angry with him. He said, you know, God could have given you great victory, but now you're only going to win three times. You're just barely going to stop smoking for a few weeks or a month or two, and then you're going to go right back to it. You're going to quit, you know, looking at pornography for a couple of months. You kind of reform, but you didn't get filled with the Spirit, and you're going to go right back to it. You kind of, you know, sort of self-helped. You read a good self-help book. You repented, and you stopped using your pills, but before you know it, you're going to be back on them, and that's not even going to get it. Now you're going to need to, pretty soon, you're going to be shooting heroin in your veins. Pretty soon, you're going to have your heart stop from fentanyl. This happens to people we know because they didn't take it serious. They didn't get serious with God, and they didn't get serious with themselves. Hallelujah. So I mentioned here that I was thinking about how that abortion has killed over 70 million, probably 65 to 70 million kids, probably more than that. We know of that many. But I wonder how many people have been spiritually aborted. How many have not been born again? They started for God, but they stopped. They had started believing. They had started walking for the Lord, but then they turned back. And that's like the ground, Jesus said, where the seed falls on it. And there was a type of ground where he said that it had no, it was very shallow. It was rocky. And the seed went down, sprang up, but as soon as the sun hit it, it wilted. And Jesus said, that's the person that comes to God. And for joy, they're in full of joy, but as soon as trial hits, they back away. They walk away. They only smote the ground two or three times. They only were slightly motivated. They were half-hearted. They weren't sincere and so forth. And so they never really came all the way into the faith. They never got to where they were rooted and grounded in the Word. And that's why I'm wondering how many people just made a start for God, but spiritually they were aborted. They never were really born again. They were conceived maybe, but then they got aborted. Today we've got millions of kids getting aborted every year in America. They were conceived, but they were never got to live. They never got to walk in this life. But how many never got to live and walk in the new life, the be born again and walk in the spiritual realm with Jesus? So I want to leave that with you. We've got to not be half-hearted with God. We can't be like this king that smote the ground three times with the weapons God gave him. He wants us to defeat the enemies in our life. He wants us to overcome, hallelujah, addiction. He wants us to overcome a lack of faith. He wants us to overcome inactivity and laziness to where I'll show up. I told a man yesterday, I said, you need to come to church. He goes, no, I got Raider tickets. I said, yeah, I'll be driving under that bridge on the way to the radio, and I just did. And there's thousands of people walking over that bridge. They shut down the road to get into that stadium. Tens of thousands of people go to that game, and you know, and they're paying their tithe there. Their tithe is the cost of that ticket. Their tithe there is the cost of whatever it was to see the show, but they can't make it to the house of God. And they say, oh, you know, I can't support the work of the Lord. Yeah, but you'll pay, you know, $5,000 for a box seat for 1 year in a game, and you'll walk 4 miles to get to the game because you got to park 4 miles away and walk, or 3 miles, or ride a bus in there. Listen to me for a moment. That's the biggest church in town, but how many people are following and serving the Lord? Instead of serving, worshiping the little gods and shouting for the people running around a field, and those are the little gods, if you will, of this world, the famous athletes, the famous musicians and singers and entertainers, how many of us are shouting for the Lord? How many of us are faithful to Him? How many of us would walk 4 miles to go to church today instead of 4 miles to go see a Raider game because we got to park our car 4 miles or 3 miles away or whatever it is? Well, not too many. But I want to thank the Lord today that we've got to get our mind on Him, our eyes on Him, and I pray that this year is a great year. No matter what the world is doing, I pray it's a great year. God bless you in 2024 and keep on fighting the good fight of faith. You've been listening to Vegas Revival.
You have been listening to Vegas Revival, the new radio ministry of the Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are on the air at KKVB 1060 AM every Sunday afternoon from 4:30 to 5 p.m. For a free download of this broadcast or other broadcasts, please visit our website at vegasrevival.com. We can also be reached at 702-258-1258. We are located at 6050 South Pecos Road at Patrick Lane, directly across from the Home Depot. We want to thank all of our supporters who have made this radio ministry possible. If you are blessed by what you just heard and would like to help support this radio ministry or any of our ministries, please call or contact us by email through our website. We would be delighted to have you attend any of our weekly church services. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., Tuesday night Bible study at 7:30 p.m., Friday night youth service also at 7:30 p.m., and is bilingual in both English and Spanish. Child care is always available for those with children, and we have Spanish translators available for those who may need them. God bless you, and let's all be a part of the revival that Las Vegas so desperately needs.